church number, church website, and pastor's email on there. So if you have any questions or need any help, reach out. Use the card. If you need to, take it with you. These are also how to get prayer requests. And I covered all that. Okay, good. Volunteers are needed to clean the upstairs apartment. See pastor if you are willing to help out with that. It's kind of the fall cleanup. The girls are out. So we need to just kind of go through and clean it for when our next missionaries come in. Sign-ups for the Keswick dinner are out on the bulletin board out here at Franconia Heritage. It is from 6 to 9 p.m. Closed today so we can confirm the reservation. So make sure if you want to go, look at the sign-up sheet. I don't, the date's not on here, but it's on there. Ladies Bible study on Tuesday at 1 p.m. resumes September 9th with their book, Jesus and Women. See Karen McHenry if you need any book. Karen, can you give out a wave if you're here? She's not here, so she can't give out a wave. So that kind of snapped back at me. PCBC is holding a free cruise night September 26th from 6:30 to 8 p.m. Vehicles registration is on the website. Share the flyers that are in the bulletin and in the foyer. And then I just noticed, for you car enthusiasts, if you have one, Delaware Valley's having theirs on September 29th, so you can get your car all cleaned up and fill it for two shows without having to roll it out again and clean it all up. The nursery needs volunteers. See Sarah Snyder for details. She's not here either, so she can't give away. Youth group begins September 17th at 6 p.m. and will meet on Wednesdays here at the church.
Yeah.
Here at the church. And the next prayer meeting at Palisades High School flagpole is Wednesday, September 17th at 6:30 p.m. And one last announcement that's not on there. I have a full set of architectural plans for the addition and the renovation work going on in here.
I will have them here with me next Sunday. Whoever wants to look at them, we'll roll them all out, lay them out, and we'll do something on the stage here so you can go by. It's like, I think it's like 17 sheets of architectural size, details, and all that and everything. So they'll be on display here for everyone next week.
Thank you, Tom. Well, that's good news.
Hey.
Yeah. Under pressure. You people aren't here to wave, but you done good, Tom. It's good to praise our Lord, isn't it? Would you please stand? Let's do that together in song.
Thank you.
Going to do something a little bit different this week. I'm going to pray first, and then we're going to dismiss kids to Children's Church. We're kind of putting the message in the Children's Church up front, and then when we do the two more songs later on in the service, we're going to retrieve the kids back out, bring them back out, because we're going to be doing something really wonderful today. We're doing the Right Hand of Fellowship, and we're doing baptism certificates. And we thought we would have the whole family gather together for that, you know. It's kind of like, I don't want it to be that experience. I don't know if you ever had that uncle like I did, that every time you went to his house, he had to get his slides out in the 70s. You know, here is our trip to Wyoming. We're waving to the north, and then the next slide, we're waving to the south. And then the next slide, we're waving to the east. I don't want that to happen to you today. But we are doing it a little bit differently today because we want to minimize the time that we're getting our new members up front. We don't want them to scare them off. So let's pray. How great is our God, how great you are. Jeremiah 23:24 says, "Do not I fill the heavens and the earth?" So we as your beloved people just express now in our prayers, Lord, your great beauty, your wonder, your majesty. Sometimes, Father, it takes our breath away when we see the evidences in nature. And before human beings put their hands or to do anything, your awesomeness of your works are seen and magnified. You weigh the mountains and color the breadth of the valleys and canyons. You paint the morning and night skies. You show us the stars numberless above us. The beauty and the luxuries of trees, the wonderful coolness and refreshness of the temperature this whole week, the growing of our gardens, the joyful spread of the wilderness, the waves of the ocean, how great is our God. It's only right, our Father, that we pause and at least this day from our week to give you thanks. By him let us offer up sacrifice of praise to Christ continually. That is the fruit of our lips and the giving of thanks in your name. And we know, Lord, that you're working in this world, and we see the power of life and death in your hands again, the darkness of this world with that school shooting. It breaks our hearts, and there's great comfort in knowing that even though there are many out there who are just living their lives so wickedly and cruelly and darkly, that you can even use your enemies to bring people back to you. We thank you and pray for the hospitals and those who are in them right now, those who are set aside and unable to be with us as family and friends and church folks. Lord, we continually pray for them as we list them in our prayer sheet for the community, loved ones, those who have cancer. Bring your comfort around them. We pray for our missionaries. I think of Jordan over at New Life Island and Walter at Crossroad Pregnancy in Quakertown, and we just ask that you continue to strengthen them in ministry and help us as your people that make a salty difference in the lives of others. We pray for the men and women in uniform and for those who serve in places of public service. I think of Linda on our school board. I think of Kyle at the fire company. We thank you for the deliveries from temporal and spiritual danger that you're working on in our lives. Father, we love our church, who is Jesus, your bride, and your precious wife. And we look to you today. Help us to see, love, and delight in the beauty of this body that you brought together. We love you. How great you are, God, for this day that you've given to us. We give our thanks. We give you our worship. And it's in Jesus, our Savior's name. And everyone said, amen. So I'm going to dismiss the kids to Children's Church, and I'm dismissing the worship team because we're going to begin our message. And I'm going to invite you to turn to the screen for our scripture reading. I almost forgot. I looked down and I saw it and I was like, oh, praise the Lord. Okay, Ephesians 4, 1 through 7. And just follow along as we read. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. In fact, now this is taken from Galatians. In fact, when Peter, James, and John, who were known as the pillars of the church, saw how greatly God used me in winning the Gentiles, just as Peter the Jews, for the same God gave us each our special gifts, they shook hands with Barnabas and me and encouraged us to keep right on with our preaching to the Gentiles while they continued their work with the Jews. And then together, I have been crucified with Christ, and I myself no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the real life I now have within this body is a result of my trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. May God bless the reading of his word. If you could pull up my PowerPoint for me. If you have a bulletin, you can pull out an outline. We entitled this, "You Put the Right Hand In." That's what the right hand of fellowship is all about. I trust you recognize the song. Okay, I want to have a little bit of fun this morning. I'm in a rare mood. Have you ever done this? See what the guy's doing? Okay, there's this new, I don't know if it's new. It's probably been there for years, but it's new to me because I saw it just recently. There are these things that they put out on social media. It's called Raise Your Hand If. And it's an icebreaker kind of thing. It's a little bit of fun. And I don't want to get carried away with this, but I do want to have a little bit of fun. And we're going to do this together. We're going to raise our hand if you're glad to be here. Okay, yeah, all right. See, you got it. All right, so here we go. Raise your hand. Raise your hand if you have siblings here today. Actually, I don't. I can't raise my hand. Raise your hand if you love all those siblings. Oh, I hear it. Raise your hand if you have a job that drives you crazy. Raise your hand if you play sports that hit things. Raise your hand if you don't dance in public. Raise your hand if you know the hokey pokey. Okay, that's what it's all about, right? You put your right hand in, your right hand out. Okay, you got it. Raise your hand if you watch a lot of TV shows. Are you afraid to raise your hand because you don't want people to think you watch too much TV? Raise your hand if you love the Eagles. I can't believe that. I thought everybody had had their hand up. Raise your hand if you like to shop. You know, Lori's sick today. She's not here. Or she'd have her hand up. Raise your hand if you like to work out. I just worked out. I'm so sorry. I can't raise my hand. Raise your hand if you like pineapple on your pizza. Okay, you're weird. Raise your hand if you don't like this game and refuse to raise your hand. I was trying. Okay, so raise your hand if you know what the right hand of fellowship is. Okay. Sometimes what the right hand of fellowship is, it's a phrase that's found in the Bible in Galatians 2:9. The Apostle Paul describes how James, Peter, and John gave Barnabas and Saul, Paul, the right hand of fellowship as they were going to give the gospel and go on their missionary trips. And an act symbolizes an agreement. It symbolizes an acceptance and a shared mission. And it's become the basis of a Christian ritual of welcoming new members into a church. And we're going to be reminded what that is today. That's one of our goals. But I especially want you to be reminded of how much Jesus loves us and how much we should love our church. And it is just wonderful to be here together. There are three things, if you turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 2, there are three things that I want you to see as, well, actually four things. That I want you to see. We're gonna take this verse from Galatians chapter 2, and we're gonna break it down, and we're gonna talk a little bit about what the Lord would have us glean from this idea of what right hand of fellowship is. In the book of Galatians, it was a book that was written to a church that they were in Asia Minor, and we can gather from the book that they were being bewitched. It's a word that means they were being tricked. From believing what the real gospel was about. They had some people that started teaching in their churches that being a Christian means anything but grace. It means trying to live up to a bunch of rules, trying to live up to the law. In other words, being a Christian is don't do this, 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 and that's not what being a Christian is about. And that's kind of what the Jesus Way has been trying to teach us, our regular series that we've been doing. And we'll get back to that next week. But he says in Galatians 1:6, he marvels that they turned away so soon from Christ and the grace of Jesus Christ. And so what he's trying to do is remind them to get back. And in chapter 2, he is defending himself. Paul's defending himself, and he's talking about his ministry and how the Lord took him for several years away from the church to grow in what I would like to call the seminary of the probably backside of the desert. It's the same one that Moses went to for 40 years. Paul was actually out of the limelight for 14 years, we know. And we don't know where he was during that time, but he mentions it at the beginning of chapter 2, that he was there and he was learning from the Lord. And when he came back into the ministry, and as he found people to go to ministry with him, Barnabas is one of them, they found themselves at the church in Jerusalem. And chapter 2, verse 9 says this. It says, and when James, Peter, some translations put Cephas, his nickname, and John, who seemed to be the pillars of what? Pillars of the church in Jerusalem. Interesting description. We're going to come back to that in a minute. Perceived the grace that had been given to me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. In other words, they extended to us this thing that we call the right hand of fellowship. But the first thing I want you to notice about this verse is this verse not only is going to tell us what the right hand of fellowship is, but this verse is going to remind us who we are as a church. Because look at verse 9. He says, and when James and Peter and John, who seem to be the pillars of that church, perceived this or recognized this, and the word there is the idea of there was a recognition. There was a moment where they celebrated the ministry and what God was doing in Paul and Barnabas's life, and they made it a point in front of the church to bring everybody together, and they made it a recognition. And so I asked that first question from that part of the verse. This is who we are, because it mentions those people who seem to be the pillars of the church. So often we don't realize this, but do you know our church had pillars? Do you know our church still has pillars? And they're not the ones out there that you pass when you come in. But they're people. They're people who started our church. They're people, and their names aren't John and Peter and James, but they are Pastor Haynes and Lillian and Warren Wyckoff. And I just want to take a moment and kind of remind you, I want to take a moment and recognize so that you know who our church pillars were. The word pillar here in the Greek is the idea, it's called estolai. It's the idea of the things that when you're building a building, it's the thing that holds up the ministry. Did you know that in the temple that Solomon dedicated back in 1 Kings chapter 8, in the Old Testament, when Solomon was dedicating the temple that he built, that there were two pillars, and he named them, and they were just before the Holy of Holies. And he named those pillars to remind the children of Israel that when you walk past those pillars into the Holy of Holies in the temple, you'll always be reminded of God and his goodness and his grace and the people that this whole nation was built on. And in the same way, we have those kind of people in our church. And if you walk past into the nursery and if you turn around and you look at the wall, there's an old picture, and it was taken in 1994. But our church actually began in 1989, our church was started over at the Catholic school gymnasium over here at St. John's. Did you know that? How many? Raise your hand if you knew that. Okay. It was started over there. And Pastor Haynes, I love the fact that when Pastor Haynes was still with us, he would tell me the story, and that's why I said some of the pillars have moved on. He would tell the story. He used to say, you know, Corvin, I love Pastor Haynes. He goes, you know, Corvin, I started this church in retirement. I had no idea what I was doing. It's a pretty good mistake, you know. And he goes, so we didn't have anywhere to meet. Lillian and Warren had a son who died, and what they wanted to do was they wanted to, because they were going to church down at First Baptist in Doylestown, and they wanted to bring a church up this way because there wasn't any good gospel preaching churches up this way. So Pastor Haynes put it in the newspaper, and they started over in the Catholic church. And he asked the Catholic priest, or I mean the school, and he asked the Catholic priest at that time, if they could do that, and he said, if you give us $1 a person. Well, they advertised our church, and when they opened, they had 200 people show up. Now, it wasn't the church that stayed. It was, you know, everybody coming to see what was going on. The Catholic priest was so jealous that after, I don't remember the timing of it, but I do know that it was less than a year, he said, you got to get out. You have too many people here. And so then what happened then was that we started looking around, and we found this place, which is the Four Winds Tavern. And this was a pretty bad place. Some of you know that. When they did the renovations for the place, when they first came into the place, it was actually different shops. And my office was a shop, and the middle was a shop. And this side was the side that we rented. And when you look at the picture of 94, the pulpit was right there in that corner, and everybody was facing that. And where this opening is, this wasn't here. We were all just in this room. This was our church. And then after so many years. They bought the entire building, and then they had the 10-year anniversary at the time of 10-year anniversary. And then what happened was that Pastor Haynes finally went into retirement, and in 2005, they candidated out, and they found this guy. Yay, well, thanks. Somebody was happy. And I was going to even put up some pictures of the family when we first moved here with our kids. And it was exciting to see how the Lord was building his church. But all this just to share with you that, do you know, the whole purpose of our church was built on learning to live for Christ and be a witness and a testimony here in this place along the 611 corridor. And even though we have prayers that we're going to be building, and I don't know why sometimes it takes years for that to happen. I was reminded that the fruit, you know, in my garden, sometimes fruit you don't get all at once. Sometimes you get it in little pieces, you know. You pick a tomato here and there. But God is always working, and this is who we are as a church. And secondly, the thing I want to point out, if you look in the verse again, it says this. It says that they perceived the grace that had been given to me. The grace that had been given to me. So what is it we do? We recognize God's working in hearts and lives. That's the grace of God that's been given to us. Now, on our bulletin and around our church, we have this statement, if you ever remember seeing it. In 2009, the elders and the deacons, and I think some of you are still here, may remember this, we all went up to the Tarby cabin, and we had a prayer retreat. It was a one-of-a-kind retreat, and I think we need another one of those soon. But it really was an amazing time. We gathered together, and we were praying. We spent the whole weekend as Frank Tarby hosted us in his cabin house. And we actually broke off and went through the woods and prayed. And just seeking the Lord and just taking some time. Some of us were just crying out to God, God, give us some directions. And we all came back together. And this is what we came up with. We came up with our church purpose. And this is our church purpose. I want you to read it with me. Our purpose, read it with me. Our purpose is to glorify God through kneeling in adoration and prayer, teaching God's word and growing disciples, reaching the lost with the gospel of Christ. You know, what is really interesting, we all know that our purpose, if you were to say what is the purpose of Palisades Community Bible Church, it's to glorify God. Period. That's all it is. It's all it is. Now, how we do that can look differently from the way other people do it, but that is our purpose, and that's what we're committed to, so that everything that we do, we're doing it. And we do it in three motions. We lift up our hands in worship and adoration. That speaks this idea of kneeling and praying and worshiping. When we come together, we make it our priority to worship Christ, to worship God, to focus on him. I had a pastor who told me that he went into a pulpit one time to fill in, and on the pulpit was written the verse, "We would see Jesus." And every time I get up to preach, that's what I pray, that you wouldn't see this guy, but you would see Jesus, because we want all our hearts to be kneeling before God, and that's why we have times of prayer, and that's why we have times where our groups get together and pray. And we have times of adoration like this. The second word there, teaching, is the idea of God's word and growing disciples, because we want to be feeding on the word of God, and we want to be growing in the word of God and teaching others and helping others become disciples. We want to do that, and then reaching the lost with the gospel of Christ. Why? Because that's the grace that's been given to us. Just take a moment. I don't know when and where you came to know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. But whenever that was, I want you to remember that. And ask yourself, Lord, thank you for that moment. Thank you for the person that you brought into my life to help me in my walk with you, to make me a better disciple in Jesus Christ. And this is what we do. Look at the verse again, verse 9. He says, and it says that when they recognized or perceived that grace had been given to me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship. And the word there is a verb. It means koinonia. When we think of fellowship, a lot of us giggle and laugh because we think that the meal part after the service, which we have one today. Oh, go figure. I wonder who planned that. That's fellowship, you know. Fellowship is having a box of donuts, you know. No, that's not fellowship. Fellowship, this word koinonia means to partner, to extend the hand and to partner with somebody. Let's say I had a pastor tell me this story, and this is a true story recently, that they were in Minnesota vacationing, and they were going out to the ledges. Have you heard of the place of the ledges in Minnesota where these lake places where you can go and see some of the most beautiful, pristine rock formations and things like that? But you can't walk to them. You have to canoe to them, okay? So a bunch of people got in kayaks and canoes, and they, with a whole group, and you have to canoe 4 miles to see this special spot. And so it was a really windy day, and it was a really hard day. And if you're not used to the arm work, you would get pretty. Some people were just going in circles. He said, you'd look at the canoe, and there'd be a husband on one side, and he's rowing this way, and the lady on this side, she's rowing this way, and he's yelling at her, paddle with me, you know. And they gave up, and they went back. They couldn't do the 4 miles. He said after he got there, it was just him and his wife. Everybody gave up the trip and turned around. And then they couldn't believe the beauty of this place. And I don't have, you know, it wasn't my trip. I'd show you the picture. But it was just incredible. It was breathtaking. He was showing us the pictures. And then he said, but then the realization came that we had to go back. And the wind wasn't blowing with us. So you had to paddle against the wind. And he said he wanted to give up so many times. He wanted to give up that he kept hearing his wife. He goes, and she's more spiritual than me. She was praying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And she was just, and he goes, but the fact that we were doing it together was what got us through it. That paddling together is the image of koinonia. That you each have a ministry, a gift, something to do, and you paddle together to get to the goal. That is what extending the right hand of fellowship is. That is saying that as Jesus is winning people to Christ and bringing them into our ministry, our desire is to get to that destination of growing up and being all that Christ wants us to be, and we're going to paddle together to get there. And really, that is simply the reason why we do what we do. And then the last thought is this, but this is what we should love the most. I want you to take your Bibles now and look down at verse 20. And I love this verse. This is one of my favorite verses, and I love this verse, and it says, for I have been crucified with Christ. You know this verse? It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. Raise your hand if you love your church. Okay, did you mean it? Okay. I love that little boy up there. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. You see that? Praise Jesus. Look at this verse with me. Reason why I love it so much, it is so endearing. It is so magical. It is so, sorry for using that word, magical, because I don't want to put God's working into man's sphere of superstition. But it's just so awesome that we are, first of all, we are crucified in Christ. That's where we find our salvation. We are in him and with Jesus. Life isn't about me anymore. We have died to sin in ourselves. I am crucified with Christ. And we're purified and changed. Nevertheless, I live. You know, it still amazes me, this life that we go through each day of our lives, that God is working in us and doing things in our lives. It teaches, he is teaching me that there's change and growing and transforming. I'm not the same person I used to be. 2 Corinthians 5:17, old things are passing away. All things are becoming new. You know why I love our church? Because this is a place where we belong, just like it says in the verse, yet not I, but Christ in me. You don't live the life you live. Christ is now living in you, and you're united with him, and your identity is in him. Your identity isn't in your job. It isn't in your school. It isn't in your friends. It's who he says I am. And it takes time to work through that and to grow in that. And it just doesn't happen overnight. It's a lifelong thing. It's fellowshipping together. It's learning to row together. And then we're reminded that I do have a part. It's the life I have to live. I live by faith. We walk by faith and not by what? We don't use our eyes. How often we just get our eyes on the wrong things? We're constantly looking at the wrong things and getting our hearts and our eyes on those things that aren't important, and we forget. I have the tendency, I don't know if you do this, but I do this all the time. I have the tendency to look at the 10% of what went wrong instead of looking at what God is doing. And I thank the Lord that my wife is able to swing me back into to looking at what God is doing. Whenever you're in a problem, let me share something with you. Whenever you're in a problem, or you're going through a trial, or you're going through something in life, don't put your eyes on what other people are telling you or what you do. Just put your eyes on Jesus and say, okay, Lord, show me what I need to see. You remember our verse from last year? Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Remember that? And then, I love this next part. We are loved. Who loved me? You know, we had our anniversary in July. And when Lori and I had our anniversary, I was reminded there are people today, and a lot of us pastors have been talking about it, especially Pastor Josh over in Milford as we pray together. Do you know there are people who've said to him, I love Christ, I just don't love church. You know what that's doing? That would be, and Brenda reminded me of this illustration, that would, rats, Kyle isn't here, because I would pick on Kyle. You know, Kyle and Naomi are engaged now, and he would be the one that I would use this illustration for. Let's say I said to Kyle, Kyle, you're my best friend. I love you. I want you to come to dinner. I love you, Kyle, but I don't love Naomi, so let her stay home. Don't ever let her come to my house. Would you be offended? Do you think Kyle would be offended? That, when a person says, I love Jesus, but don't love church, they're doing the same thing. Isn't that awful? Do you know, I am reminded by this verse, and this is a quote from one of my favorite pastors, I need not tell you who, but it is just wonderful. Get this how much God loves you. He loves us. When you look at the church, we're looking at Christ's bride. Lord Jesus Christ cannot possibly or conceivably be limited in his love. I want you to try to get a hold of this thought. Do notice it. He, Jesus, loves me. Put your name in there. Such a one as he is, and he loves me. Christ first, me last, nothing between but love. Stop a minute. Remember, it's who loved me is the phrase in Galatians here we're talking about. Now, think of what he just said. Christ first, who, him, loved me. Christ first, me last, nothing between but love. Those words are very sweet to me. I read them somewhere, and they cling to my memory. Who loved me? Who loved me? The first word is who. The last word is me, and there's nothing between but love. Oh, that is the blessed position for anyone to be in. Okay, it was Spurgeon who said that. And but isn't that amazing? Doesn't that grip your heart? That Jesus loves you in such a great way. Raise your hand if you've forgotten why we were raising our hands through this message. I sometimes feel like I forget what we're doing here, but I want to give you three things, and I'm closing. Give yourself to Jesus first. Give yourself to Jesus first. He loved you and gave himself for you. Secondly, give yourself to each other. Give yourself to each other. When we come together in worship, we give ourselves to each other. And then here's the last one. Remember why you love your church. Just like I love my wife, just like you love your spouses, just like you love your children, your grandchildren, remember why you love your church. The other day, Lori gave me a task to do, and I went downstairs, and I was so busy thinking, what am I here after, that I forgot what I was here after. You know you're getting older. You know that joke? You know you're getting older when you're looking for the hereafter and forget what you're here after. Okay, so I'm getting older. And do you know, I chuckled at myself and I laughed at myself. I'm either was going to get mad at myself for forgetting, or I was gonna laugh. And you know, this really old song came into my head. And I started singing it all day. Do you remember YouTube did this song from Joshua Tree back in was it 1997, I think it was? No. Yeah, it was 97. I still haven't found what I'm looking for. I sang that all day, and I still didn't find what I was supposed to find. But you know why I want to close with these words? Because I realized the gospel is in this song. If you remember the words of the song, it says this. It says, come on, get there, Corvin. I believe in kingdom come when all the colors will bleed into one. But yes, I'm still running. You broke the bonds. You loosed the chains. You carried my cross of shame. I know, I believe it, but still I haven't found what I'm looking for. If you're here today and you're looking for something, maybe God is help. Look for Jesus first. Look to help someone else. And remember why you're loved. Father, I thank you so much for remembering us this morning. I thank you for your love. Let someone turn to you to love you. Maybe someone today doesn't know what it means to be crucified in Christ. Give them that moment of understanding and salvation. Or maybe someone else is just forgetting something in their life, Lord. I pray that you would bring to them whatever it is that they need from you. Thank you that we are crucified in you. Free us from the things in our lives that we need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's continue our worship.
Please stand if you're able. Come sit in your room.
her more. I guess I scared him away.
I'm here.
No, no, these are the baptism people. Have a seat. Come on up. Come on up, guys. You come on up and just stand here with me. Okay. There's no, I know that some of you don't like to be in front of people, so we're going to try to make this as easy as possible. What I just want to do, if you'd show the slides, we had baptisms throughout our summer. We had some up at the house, my house, back in August, at the beginning of August, and Janet and Daniel and Luann and Tom were baptized there. And then during July, we had our baptisms at Camp Haycock, and Daniel and Christy and Colleen were there. But for those that are here, what I want to do is I want to give you baptism certificates. And something I like to do with the people that I baptize is that I like to give them a verse. And if I've ever done a baptism for you, I encourage you to go back and try to find your baptism certificate and try to find the verse that I gave you. Because I was wondering, I was looking back through the years, last 20 years, I actually found Daniel's baptism. Uh-oh. He's our drummer. And don't worry, you don't have to do anything. But I just I was remembering things like that, and I found Patrick's in 2007. Patrick, you were such a good looking young man. You've grown a lot since then. But go back, if I did baptisms for you, go back and look at those verses, because they mean a lot. And it's really, I give them as a hope to you guys in your walk with the Lord. Daniel, you came to know the Lord just before Easter time. And there's a verse that that I'm going to give you. I got to find it because my cards aren't in order. But there was a Sunday, and I don't remember all the circumstances, but I'll never forget you asked me the question, but how do I know that he won't stop loving? Was something like that, meaning God. And so the verse that I'm putting on your certificate is Romans 8, 35 through 37, and it goes like this. Who or what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors. Through him who loved us, nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, my Lord. And I just want you to know, brother, that nothing will ever do that. There's your certificate. Janet? You know, Janet is, I love how as we were even going through the membership process, you kept saying things like, oh, I just love our church. I learned so much from God's word, and I just sensed that hunger for the word of God. But I found something else that Janet loved. She was sharing with me a devotional you found. What was the name of the devotional? Do you remember? About
Unbridled Faith.
Unbridled Faith. She loves horses. Did you know that? She does. She loves horses. And she's even demented enough to take a horse and make it look like a mummy at Halloween. I mean, you might not have known that about her, but not a real horse, a fake horse. But this is the verse that I have for you. Do you know when the scriptures talk about horses, it symbolizes strength, beauty, and I can't read my writing. Strength and beauty. That's what's important. But this is the verse that I want to give you. Psalm 20, verse 7. Some trust in horses. Some trust in chariots, but I will trust in the name of the Lord my God. I think that is just a wonderful verse for you. So thank you. Luann. When you were doing your testimony on your testimony sheet, do you remember the song that you wrote? What was it?
Oh, I can't write the
right now. What can wash away my sins, nothing but the blood. And I really enjoyed having your family with us that day that we were So the verse that I pulled for you is Isaiah 1:8. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be like wool. And so that is the verse that I have for you on your certificate. And then Tom, look at that picture right there. Before, look, see your arms up. Okay. In your testimony, you talked about being born again. And then when you were baptized, threw your arms up in victory. And so this is the verse that I have for you. It's 1 John 5:4. Because it highlights those that are reborn with God's power and faith to overcome. It says, for whoever is born or reborn of God overcomes the world. And that is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. So that's the verse that I have for you. Alright, now the other folks that are joining our church had already been baptized. I'm going to ask them to come up. It is Karen and Lulu and John. Come on up and join us here. Oh, you don't have to go up on stage, Karen. Yeah, come right over here. Right here next to Tom. Yeah. Why don't we all shuffle a little bit? There you go. All right. And yes, actually, I do have some things for you, but I'm going to give them to you after we do the thing. John and Lulu and Karen have also done our membership with us, and I've been enjoying getting to know them and learning your testimonies and things like that. But when we join the church, we're actually making a commitment. And one of the things that I like to do when we join the church is give you a membership right-handed fellowship certificate, which I'm going to do after I read this part. And I also give you a gift, which is this book right here. It's by Tom Rainer. It's called I Am a Church Member. And I give everybody one of these. I've kind of learned that doing this marks it as a great ceremony. So if you remember joining us as a church, this is kind of a traditional thing that we always do. I just basically read to you this statement. We at Palisades Community Bible Church is part of the great body of Christ in a local unit called out, because that's what church means in the Greek. It means called out ones. Called out to renounce sin and take up our cross and to follow Jesus. These candidates now desire to show their part in becoming members of our church. So to you, I ask this question. Having been led by the Spirit of God to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and desiring fellowship with people of like and precious faith, do you all promise by the aid of the Holy Spirit to walk together in Christian love, to strive for the advancement of this church, for holiness and knowledge, and promote its prosperity and spirituality? If so, say, I do.
I do.
I do.
Do you promise also to strive to maintain family and personal devotions, to seek the salvation of the lost, to walk circumspectly in the world and avoid the appearance of evil and seek to love the Lord with all your heart? If so, say, I do.
I do.
Do you promise to watch over one another in brotherly love and remember each other in prayer? If so, say, I do.
I do.
Okay, now this is your part, the church. Stand up. Okay. Do you, church body and attenders, promise to love and extend a right hand of fellowship of love of ministry to those that are joining our church today? If so, you put your right hand out, put your right hand in, put your right hand out, shake it all about. You do the loop-de-loo, turn yourself about. No. If you promise to do that with our new church members, say, I do.
I do.
So gracious Father, we do thank you so much for your love, your mercy, and your grace. And we thank you for all these that are joining us in Christ even now. So while we sing, because Sheila's going to lead us in a song as we close, while we sing, I'm going to give the certificates of membership in the books to each of these. And then as we finish the song, you'll be dismissed to gather together, give a right hand of fellowship to our new members. Go ahead, Sheila. side and work your way down. Give a right hand of fellowship to our new members and greet them. Yep, let's pull all this out of the way. Thank you, God. And if you're, well, you're welcome to stay if you're visiting with us today. We have a fellowship afterwards. And just the Lord bless you, and you have a great day. You're dismissed. Come on up.